Your passage of Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3 is going to be our jumping verse where we're going to start off at. Got one more character trait we're going to be looking at in the Apostle Peter today. Then we'll be going over to look at his brother Andrew. Mark chapter number 3, we're going to start reading in verse number 13. Read down through verse number 19. I want you to read with me as well. Mark 3, verse 13. By the way, we saw Peter, and Peter's outspoken and outgoing. One thing you're going to see about Andrew today, Andrew is outreaching.
Amen.
Amen. He's not outspoken. He's not outgoing, but he is outreaching. Amen. And see some people that he's bringing to Christ. Mark chapter 3, verse number 13, and we're going to start reading in verse number 13, chapter 3, verse 13. Amen. Here we go. All together. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him who he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. We're continuing talking about the primary ingredients in the local church, and we talked about some things already. We talked about the prayer that's necessary, the partnering with Jesus that's necessary. We talked about the power that's necessary, but then also the people. All those things are utilized through the people in the church. And we're seeing that Peter's outspoken and he's outgoing. We're going to see a little bit about Andrew this morning as well. He's outreaching. And then he is the brother of Peter. Then we're going to see two other brothers, James and John, probably not today, and that they're not outspoken and they're not outgoing. They're not outreaching. They're absolutely outrageous. Amen. They have a temper problem, and we're going to see them today. And you have these people in every local church. These people types, amen. You're always going to have these types. And so we'll see a little bit more about the primary people in the local church. And God's grace is still sufficient to work through these types of people. Amen. Now let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, bless now the message. God, I pray that we might see more of Peter in us and then Andrew in us. But most of all, we might see the Holy Spirit working through us to perfect that which you have placed in us. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, we could be challenged, we could be changed, channeled to be used by the Spirit's power. But we would do what you would have us to do. But there's a lost world that needs to be reached today. Some of those people need us to be outspoken to them. Some of those people need us to be outgoing towards them. And some of them, Lord, need us to be outreaching to them. Whatever it is, Lord, make us to be what that world needs us to be, that we may see more souls saved for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, now to get beyond ourselves, to see the Savior, and Lord, see what you want us to be today, and we may do it in spirit and in truth. Save those that are lost today. Lord, heal those that are hurting. Lord, most of all, encourage those that are discouraged. Most of all, Lord, be glorified in what we think, say, and do. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Miss Natasha is going to sing.
Shadows fall, and the night covers all. There are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. He won't abide with me. Is near, he ever watches.
Thank you, Miss Natasha. How can I fear? Amen. Jesus is near. And you know, there is no reason to fear when Jesus is near. And looking more at standing for the local church, again, our theme all year is being able to stand and withstand, ready for the battle. Be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, and that's what we want to do according to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 and 14. And by the way, these are some turbulous times and some terrible times, and we have got to stand for Jesus Christ. If we don't stand, who will stand? Amen. If Christians don't stand against sin and stand up for what's right, there is nobody else that will stand. Amen. And we have the truth. We have the word of God. We have what it takes. And so it behooves you and I to stand. We begin to look at some of the things necessary and needed in the local church to stand for the local church. We found out that there is, first of all, prayer involved. Jesus had prayer all night to get the apostles. And then we find he partnered up with those 12 that he picked out. One of those was a devil. Amen. Brother, I don't know. Would you imagine going out recruiting somebody knowing they were a devil? Amen. I don't think I'd be as bold, but he's Jesus. He can do that. Amen. He picked 12. He prayed and then he partnered with those 12. He sent them out to preach. And by the way, in every good church, you're going to have some preaching. You got to have preaching. Got to have prayer. Got to have partnering with Jesus. Got to have some preaching of the word of God. Amen. It's what's going to stir hearts. It's what's going to change lives. It's what's going to get people convicted of sin and get them turned around in the right direction. Amen. And then with that, there's going to be people. People are going to always be utilized to do the preaching, to do the praying, to partner with Jesus. It's always going to be people. And we began to see some of these people by the name of Peter. Peter was outspoken. He was outgoing. He's a brother of Andrew. He was the leader of the group. And there's some good character traits about him and some not so good character traits about him as well. And we looked at those things, and we're going up to the last character trait that we're going to look at, a Peter. And by the way, this is the third week that we've been on Peter. You know why? He's the most talked about of the apostles in the Gospels. He is the most talked about in the Gospels of the apostles, of the 12. He is the most talked about. Amen. Peter is constantly mentioned over and over again. And he is the one that looks most like you and I. And so we're going to pick him up by looking at him in the beginning when he first started, and then find out where he's at the end of the Gospels. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, because Mark chapter 3 just talks about the way Jesus picked this whole group out. But Luke chapter number 5, and I want us to see when Peter first met Jesus. And this last character trait will lead right into this. Luke chapter number 5. And in Luke chapter number 5, we first see Peter here. He was out fishing. And remember, this was one of the character traits about him. Chapter 5, notice down there in verse number 5. It says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Jesus had been out there with them, and he told him to let down his nets, plural. We saw that. Peter let down the net, singular. And he did not believe what Jesus had said. And notice what it said in verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. If you'd have believed Jesus, that wouldn't have happened. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, notice this, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So in the beginning of the ministry, we find that Peter with Jesus, and he said, Peter, don't worry about this anymore. You're going to catch men from now on. You're not going to be a fisher of fish. You're going to be a fisher of men. Amen. And at that, notice what happens in verse number 11. And when they had bought their ships to the land, they forsook how much? All. And followed him. So not just Peter, but James and John, and obviously others, forsook all that they had and followed him. And of course, we saw over the last several weeks, there were some ups and downs with Peter. Sometimes Peter stuck his foot in his mouth. Sometimes he made some bold statements. Sometimes he made some accurate statements. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, You're right. And then Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross. And he said, Be it far from thee. And Jesus had said, Get thee behind me, Satan. And so he was rebuked sometimes, and he was encouraged other times for what he said. But if something happened with Peter towards the end, and we saw that last time. He went out on a limb and said, I will never deny thee. He said, I'll die first. And then he denied his Lord. And when he denied his Lord, he went out and wept. And that was the last we saw of Peter. But he had forsaken all and followed Jesus. And then we happened to see him afterwards. And he made this statement, I go a-fishing. And the other said, we also go with thee. And we found that he took not just himself, made a decision to go fishing, but he took a group of disciples back with him. And that was the last time we saw Peter. I want to pick it up with this thought this morning. This last character trait of Peter. Because when we last saw Peter, he was a decisive person. He said, I go a-fishing. And with his decisiveness, he made a bad choice to go back to his old ways and do some of the things that he used to do. And it's like some Christians, they'll try Jesus for a while, and then they'll go back to some things that they used to do. They'll go back to some old ways. They'll go back to some old habits. They'll go back to some old friends. They'll go back to some old things that they used to do because I tried this Jesus thing, and it just doesn't work so good. It doesn't fit in with my schedule. It doesn't go with what I used to do. I don't like this no more. It's costing me something. I've got to sacrifice now for Jesus' sake. Mm-hmm. And they start going back. And that's what happened to Peter. He went back to fishing. And we saw with his decisiveness, he took some people with him. And go to John chapter 21 with me, so we can see what happens with Peter. John chapter 21. Because I like Jesus, how he doesn't leave us to ourselves. Although Peter made the decisive decision to go fishing, and although he took a bunch of disciples with him and got them away from being fishers of men, although Peter made this bad decision, still Jesus comes to look for him. I'm here to tell you this morning, although you and I may make some bad decisions, Jesus is still going to come looking for you. Yes, you may make some bad decisions, do some things that you know you ought not do. Go some places you ought not go. Say some things you ought not say. Get involved with some people you ought not get involved with. Jesus is still going to look for you. Amen. He's going to come looking for you while he loves you. Mm-hmm. And although you make some bad decisions, Jesus says, remember me. I'm the one that you trusted. I'm the one that you forsook all and you followed me. Remember me? John chapter 21. I want to pick it up in verse number 15. Notice what it says. So when they had dined, as a matter of fact, let's go back up a little bit so we'll get the context set here. Go down to verse number 4. Because Jesus finds them out there in the lake. Well, I might as well start in verse number 1. Amen. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. This is what we saw last week. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. Amen. That's what happens when you go against what God wants you to do. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which would be John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, just for a moment, consider with me. The disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the lake and swims to the shore. I wonder why he is the first one to jump in the lake. And he is the first one that denied Christ. Don't you think he wants to go and talk to his Lord? He's not been able to see him since that time. And don't you think he has got a part in his heart that wants to apologize for what he did? And how he left Jesus hanging. He left him high and dry. And don't you believe that when Peter came to the shore and he sees this fire of coals here, it might have reminded him of the coals that he warmed his hands on by the soldiers there in the palace, because it said he was warming his hands by the fire in the palace. And don't you think that whole scene might have reminded him of the night that he betrayed Christ and denied him? And he comes. And he's got some things that Jesus is going to say to him. Notice down there it says in verse number 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish. Giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, and this is where we're going to look at his last attribute of Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. The end of the Gospels, we see Peter going back to his fishing. Jesus comes to him, and this last character trait we're going to look at that you can find in people is called apprehensive people. Apprehensive people. What does the word apprehensive mean? It means afraid that something bad or unpleasant is going to happen. It means feeling or showing fear or reservation about the future. Apprehension means you're unsure, uncertain about what's going to happen. When questioned about his love for Jesus in John 21, Peter did not use the same word for love that Jesus used. In the Bible, the word love is translated in three different ways. It's translated to agape, which means a self-sacrificing love, which is the love that God has for us, for God so loved the world. Then it's translated as phileo. It's like a brotherly love that you would love a brother or a kinfolk. Then there's an erotic love or eros love, which is just sensual love that you would have for a marriage partner. Jesus uses the top word love when he says, do you love me? He uses agape. And he's going to ask Peter, Peter, do you self-sacrificially love me? And Peter comes back and says, I love you with a brotherly love. And so when you look at verse number 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou or agape self-sacrificially, do you love me more than these? Now, the these that he's talking about there could be the fish and it could be the men that are there. It could be both. And Peter doesn't use the same word, but Peter says, I have a brotherly love for you. Now, let's entertain a thought here. Possibly from fear of already letting Jesus down again, Peter does not say, I love you that much. Because he knows that he already let him down. And so he doesn't use that same word. He uses brotherly love, and possibly because of fear of letting Jesus down. Or second of all, it could be fear of making a bold statement in front of the others just to prove it untrue again. Did not he say in front of all of them, though all these deny you, I won't? Yes, he did. So Peter's a little bit apprehensive about saying, well, Lord, I got a self-sacrificial love for you. No, I can't say that. I said it once before in front of these guys and I let you down. Or perhaps it's fear of what others would say since he just started back and he said, I go fishing. And now he's a bandwagoner. He's a flip-flopper. He's wishy-washy. Now, Peter, didn't you just convince us to go back into fishing? And so there's three things that could be going on here. Peter not wanting to make the sacrificial love statement because I may let you down. Or maybe because I'm afraid of what these others may say. Or because I'm really not sure. I said I was going fishing, but now, Lord, you're calling me back into commission again? And so you're going to have apprehensive people in every church. Whatever the case, Jesus used the word agape and Peter used the word phileo. In local churches, you're going to have people that are going to make some bold statements about what they would do, and then they don't do what they said they would do, and they're going to be hard-pressed to make that statement again because of fear of they can't hold out, or fear of they said they would never do it again, or fear of what others may say. We don't know what Peter's thinking here. But we do know that Jesus challenged him with the highest love, and Peter can't muster to say it. He just says, I have a brotherly love for you. Now, I can tell you apprehensive people are going to be in every church. And they're going to have different reasons for saying what they say when it comes to their love. Notice what Jesus goes on to say down there in verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest agape love, self-sacrificial, lovest thou me? He said to them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo, brotherly, love thee. He said to them, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you have an agape love for me? Self-sacrificial love for me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? With a self-sacrificial love. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Thou knowest that I have a brotherly love for thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Jesus took Peter down, and after asking, do you have a self-sacrificial love, twice, then three times, Jesus said, Peter, do you at least have that kind of love for me, a brotherly love for me? And Peter said, you know. You know, when we have apprehensive people who are uncertain or afraid of a bad situation that may happen, or they show reservation about the future, oftentimes it's because something unpleasant happened to them before. Oftentimes it's because they were let down, or they themselves let someone else down. And so you're not going to be as eager to step back out there with that statement as you were the first time. Because somebody burned me. Somebody hurt me. Somebody let me down. I let somebody else down. And I was made to look like a fool. And so I'm not going to be so eager to do that the next time. Amen. Amen, Pastor. You know it's true. Mm-hmm. You have a reservation the next time somebody asks you. Because you think, hey, I got burnt last time. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to burn me again. I'm not going to burn myself again. I'm not going to even put myself in that situation. And you're going to have people like that in the church. Mm-hmm. That they've been hurt. They've been let down. Things didn't go the way they thought they were going to go. It didn't happen the way they thought it should have happened. And so I'm not as eager to jump back out like I was before. Hey, yeah, I forsook all last time and I followed you. But I had these ups and these downs, and I went up and I went down. And the last time was just humiliating. I said I wouldn't forsake you. I said I wouldn't deny you. And I did it not once, not twice, three times I did it. I cursed. I swore. And I said, that's it. I'm going fishing. And now you want me back. And now you want me back. And now you want me back. And Jesus says, yes, I want you back. I want you back. My encouragement to you is, if you've been that way, Jesus wants you back. He wants you back. He wants you to serve him. And yes, he may say the agape love, because that's the best. But he'll take what you give him. Peter said, I can't give you that, but I can give you this. Jesus said, will you give me that? Peter said, you know. You know all things. You know, we're going to have some apprehensive people in church. Local church is always going to be apprehensive people. They feel they let their Lord down maybe in the past. Maybe they let others down. Maybe the preacher down. Maybe the preacher let them down. Maybe someone let them down, and they had these expectations that were there, and someone let them down. And so now they're not as eager to go back out, but somebody's got to reach that person. Somebody's got to go to them. Somebody's got to love them with Jesus' love. Someone's got to have agape love and say, hey, look, lovest thou God more than these? Nonetheless, they will be in every local church, and they need to be loved. They need to be reassured. They need to be encouraged. They need to be worked with. We can't just leave them to themselves. Would you imagine with me just for a moment if Peter was left to himself? What would have happened to all the thousands of conversions at Pentecost when Peter stepped up to preach? What would have happened to the lame man who was healed? What would have happened to Cornelius and all those that joined at his house to hear the gospel? What would have happened to Simon the sorcerer and all those that were saved at that meeting? What would have happened to Ananias and Sapphira with their foolishness in the church? What would have happened to the miracle of Peter being freed from prison and Herod slaying shortly thereafter? What would have happened to the Jews that heard Peter speak at Jerusalem when they said that, hey, except these guys be circumcised, they can't be saved? Peter came back and spoke against that. What would have happened if Peter had not been reached for Jesus?
and by Jesus. We're going to have people like that in every local church. Somebody's got to reach them. They went out there, they made a statement, and it was a bold statement. They made a fool of themselves. They did some things. They feel bad about themselves. They want to go back and go fishing, but God never called them to be fishers of fish. He called them to be fishers of men. Somebody's got to reach them and bring them back. Somebody's got to reach them. Apprehensive people, they're going to be in every church. And that's what you find in Peter. I'm so glad that Jesus brings him and restores him. Despite his reservations about himself, despite how bad he felt, despite how bad it looked, despite he said, I go fishing so boldly, so decisively, I'm finished, I'm going fishing, I'm done with this soul business. Jesus got him and rescued him and bought him back. And he's restored into the ministry once again. And you're always going to have these type of people. Yes, Peter was outspoken. Yes, he was outgoing. Yes, he was stubborn. Yes, he had a lot of traits going about himself. But one of the things about him, he was moldable, and he was pliable, and he was teachable. And God got him right back involved. I like what goes on with this. Notice what he says down in verse number 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what should this man do? Now, Lord, you want me to feed the sheep. I understand that. And you ask me about my love, but he says, Lord, what is this man going to do? Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Jesus said, that's none of your concern. See, if I'm apprehensive already, I want to know if somebody else is going to get in trouble with me if I don't, you know, if somebody else with me. So what is he going to do? Does he have to go and do this too? Jesus said, don't worry about him. But you do what I'm asking you to do. Peter, you're the outspoken one. Peter, you're the outgoing one. Peter, you're the one that has the personality. Peter, you're the one that I want. I want you to do this. You know, if you're an apprehensive person, don't be concerned about what somebody else is going to do. Just be concerned about what God wants you to do. Just worry about what God wants you to do. But what about, you know, on judgment day, God's not going to question you about anybody else's work. He's going to question you about your work. When you come before God, he's going to ask you what you did. He's not going to ask you what anybody else did. Judgment seat is going to be all about you. You get all the limelight there. What did you do? What did you do for me? What did you give for me? Where did you go for me? Where did you labor for me? What did you do for me? And if you say, what about this man? He's going to say, don't worry about them. You got yours. So we're going to have these people types in every church, apprehensive people, outgoing and outspoken. But then there's a brother, a counter. You know, no two siblings are alike. Amen. And just as outspoken as Peter was, Andrew was just as quiet. You don't hear a lot about Andrew. And they're brothers. They were in the business together. They went fishing together. And these brothers, you're going to find that they are together once again. Andrew is outreaching whilst Peter is outspoken and outgoing. Go over with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 14 just for a moment. I want to see something. We'll come right back to John in a minute. Luke chapter 6. And Luke chapter 6. It tells you in verse number 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called on him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother. So we see that they were brothers right there in that passage of scripture. The other apostles are named down there as well. And James and John also were brothers, as we saw in the Gospel of Mark. Now go over to John chapter number 1. We're going to look at three different things about Peter, about Andrew this morning. And his outreaching. And although he's not talked about much, he's talked about once in bringing Andrew and bringing his brother Peter to Jesus Christ. He's talked again when there's a lad with some fish and some loaves of bread. He's talked about a third time when the Greeks come seeking for Jesus. And they said, sirs, we would see Jesus. And all three times that Andrew is mentioned, he is pointing someone to Jesus. All three times. Let's notice the first encounter, John chapter number 1, if you would. And this we're going to see, he's outreaching to family and loved ones. Andrew's outreaching to family and loved ones. By the way, when you and I got saved, one of the first ones that we should have been concerned about was our family and our loved ones. First ones. Whether it's a mother, father, sister, or brother, whether it's an aunt, an uncle, whether it's a grandma or grandpa, whether it's, I don't care who it was, the first ones that we should have gone to when we got saved was our family and our loved ones. Those closest to us that we spend the most time with are the ones that we should have went back to. My wife and I first got saved. First ones we called was my parents. Told our parents we got saved. We called her parents, told them we got saved. Told my friends and my coworkers as soon as I got back to work. Told everybody I could, I got saved. As soon as you get saved, that's big news. Something about Andrew's life. He's outreaching to family and loved ones. And he was searching for the truth first. Notice John chapter number 1. Notice verse 19. The Bible says this in verse number 19. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not Christ. And they asked him, well, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? So John the Baptist is out here preaching, and people are hearing him preach. And they said, are you the Christ? He said, no. Are you Elias? Well, who are you? You're doing all this preaching. And by the way, one of the ones that first followed him was Andrew. What was Andrew doing? He's searching for truth. Searching for truth. I don't know if y'all like that, but before I got saved, I was searching for truth. I looked at this church. I looked at that church. I looked at this church. I went to this cult. I went to this book. I went to that book. I went to this person. I went to this person. I knew there had to be some truth out there somewhere. I just couldn't find it. And guess what? When I did find it, boy, I never left it. Amen. And so he's searching for truth here. And you find in verse number 23, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so there's a searching for the truth here that that Andrew is doing. But notice the seeing of the truth. Notice down here in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And so there was a searching for truth, and Andrew had been with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist saw Jesus, and he said, look, this is the one. This is the one that you're seeking. You need to go to him. He must increase. I must decrease. And so Andrew, now being a seeker for truth, actually sees the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so Andrew, seeing who Jesus was, now pick it up with me down in verse number 35. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, notice that, two of his disciples is a learner, a follower of someone. Two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Notice verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was who? Andrew. So Andrew had been a seeker of truth all this time. He's following John the Baptist, musing at John the Baptist, wondering, John, who are you? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And he's not. But then he says, but he is. He points to Jesus. And when he sees the truth, he starts to go after the truth. He first findeth his own brother, who? Simon. Who is Simon? Simon Peter. And saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him, Simon, to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. What happened here? As soon as Andrew found Jesus, he went to share the truth. That's the first time you find Andrew being introduced in Scripture with any type of dialogue. And he wasn't outspoken like his brother. He didn't get all the glamour like his brother. He didn't get all the glitz like his brother. He didn't get the front stage like his brother. He didn't get the billing. But if it wasn't for Andrew, there wouldn't be a Peter. Because Andrew went to go get his brother. What am I saying? The people that you bring to Christ may do greater things than you ever did. But we still should bring people to Christ. It matters not what they do. It's been said of some of the greatest talents out there that someone that was of little talent found the one that had the great talent. And the one that had the little talent was never known about. But the one that had the great talent was highly touted. Why? It's about reaching people. It's about reaching people. And so Andrew down here, being a seeker of truth, following after John the Baptist, John the Baptist says, hey, you need to follow him. Behold the Lamb of God. And then Andrew goes over and follows him. Notice the dialogue that Jesus has with him. Notice down in verse number 37, and two of the disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? They said, where you live? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour of the day. And so Jesus said, you want to know where I stay? Come see. And he spent some time with them, partnering with them. When it comes to witnessing, we've got to go and see Jesus for ourselves. And when we see Jesus, now we can go tell somebody how good he is. By the way, if you don't know how good he is, you can't tell somebody how good he is. Hey, amen. But when you know how good he is, you can tell somebody how good Jesus really is. And then Andrew goes and sees how good he is, and he finds his brother in verse number 41. He said, we have found the Messiah. We've been looking for him. We've been searching for him. It's not John the Baptist. It's Jesus the Christ. And he bought him. And I can just see Andrew now. Jesus, this is my loud-mouthed brother, Peter. He's been known for sticking his foot in his mouth. He's the outgoing one. He's the outspoken one. He's the one I was telling you about that, man, he'd make a good spokesperson for you. Here he is. And I can see Jesus. Yeah, you're the one. Of course, Jesus knows him already. You're the one. I got plans for you. And guess what? Andrew never once flinched when Peter was used and Andrew wasn't. He never got jealous. He never got upset. He never said, you know, Lord, I'm the one that helped you find him. What about me? He let Peter do what Peter was going to do. By the way, you don't hear a lot about Andrew. You don't hear a lot about Andrew at all. Very little. But you find Andrew getting Peter to Jesus Christ. I'll show you the second time. When he's getting the lad with the lunch. And let's see here. No, we won't look at that one just yet. One of the things about him is he's always reaching people. Give you this thought. What excites your heart about your service to Christ? What excites your heart about your service to Christ? I don't know about you, but it excites my heart to talk about Jesus. Talk about when I got saved. You say, preacher, why? Because that's something I know. That's something I know that happened to me. What excited Andrew's heart? We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. You don't find Peter, Andrew, relishing in a whole lot. But one thing he relished in, we found the Messiah. We found him. And when he found the Messiah, he couldn't wait but help and tell about the Messiah that he found. And we come over here to, was it Matthew? Let me find here. I think it's Matthew chapter number 5. No, it's not Matthew 5. I'm sorry, it's the wrong reference area. Amen. We'll come back to that one. But one of the things about Andrew that was different from Peter, he was not loud. He was not outgoing. He was not boisterous, I should say. He was almost the opposite. How many of you have brothers and sisters like that? You're loud, they're quiet, or you're quiet and they're loud. Amen. The one that you always want to put up to the front to say something. Because you know they're going to be the outspoken one. Joshua and Gregory do that all the time. They will put each other first in a heartbeat. If Joshua wants something said, he'll quickly take a step back and put G2 up front. Hey, you're the boss. You're the oldest one. Amen. You can make this happen. And so Peter is doing the same thing, or Andrew is doing the same thing with Peter. Jesus, you can use him. Go back to John with me again. Look at something in John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, and notice what happens right after that. Let me find my page here. This new Bible is wearing me out. All right, amen. And notice what it says down there in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is being interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." So you've got Andrew outreaching, and you've got Philip doing the same thing. Philip is going down here, and he's going to find Nathanael, and Nathanael is very critical. And so Andrew finds Peter, and then you've got over here Philip. He goes and finds Nathanael. He does the same thing, and he says, "Come and see." I remember when I first got saved, and I was trying to witness to some of my coworkers there, and telling them what Pastor had preached on that Sunday. And they said, "Well, he couldn't have said it like that." I said, "Oh, yeah, he said this and this and this." I said, "It's Bible, too." And they said, "We don't believe you." You know what I said? I said, just like Philip, "Come and see."
Amen.
I said, "Come and see." I said, "Come out to my church and see." And guess what? They came and saw. And they came and got saved. Amen. Amen. Come and see. What are they saying? Come see a man. Come see a man. Andrew's saying, "Hey, look, Peter, you've got to see this man." Philip says, "Hey, you've got to see this man." Nathanael, you can be critical all you want to, but I'm telling you, there's something good that's come out of Nazareth, and his name is Jesus Christ. Come and see. And what am I saying? These two men were doing outreaching. They found the Messiah. Have we found the Messiah? Yeah, we have. And if we have, one of the things that we should be doing is sharing the Messiah with others. Whether it's giving a tract, whether it's talking, whether it's inviting. We've got the greatest holiday coming up, Easter Sunday.
Amen.
That is the drawing card of days for church. Co-workers, friends, and family members are going to go somewhere on that day. Why not invite them here? Tell them, "Come and see. Come and see. We found the Messiah. He is risen." And you can let them know, "Hey, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior. And we're celebrating the time that he arose the third day. And we're honoring that day. And we're setting it aside. And we're having a day of worship. Why don't you come and worship with us?" My neighbor was just moving out of the house yesterday. He has not come to church yet. And I was talking to him. I said, "You know, Brian," I said, "I would love for you to come and come to my church and visit. I said, I still want to talk to you and your wife about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, Greg, he said, you're one of the best neighbors I got around here. He said, you're friendly, you're kind. He said, I'm going to come to your church one day. He said, I can't vouch for my wife. She had a bad experience with church. And I said, you let her know. I want to sit down and talk with her about her experience. I want to know what has caused her to not want to come to the house of God. And I said, I can assure you there's an answer for the Word of God. And he said, you know what? He said, I hope she sits down and talks with you. But you know what I'm trying to do? Come and see. Come and see. I said, hey, Easter's coming up. Brian, you and Lexi can come on out. He said, I might not be able to come for Easter. He said, but I'm going to come. You know what I want to do? Come and see. Come and see. Everybody that I can, come and see. That's what Andrew is doing. That's what Philip is doing. They're outreaching. They're not outspoken. They're not outgoing, but they're outreaching. Later on, we'll see when the lad came in there, and Philip said, Andrew said, you know what? Hey, there's a lad over here. And he took the lad and he brought the lad over to Jesus. And he said, here's a lad. He's got some fish and he's got some loaves. And Jesus took the loaves and blessed and fed over 5,000 people. Later on, they said, hey, look, we would see Jesus. Philip said, you know what? Or not Philip. Andrew said, you know what? Let's take him to Jesus. What was he doing? Outreaching. So Andrew's not mentioned much in the Bible. Three times we see him. We see him once bringing Simon Peter, his brother, to Christ. Again, we see him bringing a little lad to Jesus with a lunch. And then we see when the Greeks are seeking him, bringing to Jesus. Three different groups. He brought family and friends to Jesus. Then he brought his friends to Jesus. Then he brought foreigners and lost ones to Jesus. Three different groups, family and loved ones, friends and little ones, and then foreigners and lost ones to Jesus. My question is this, that personality type is always going to be in the church. One person that always strikes my heart, Lilia, when she worked at the commissary, she always had somebody from the commissary come to the church. I mean, always. Joe is here because of Lilia, the commissary. Always getting somebody from the commissary. She was notorious for that. I say, where'd you meet Lily at? In the commissary. Amen. Where'd you meet at the commissary? Where's it? Commissary. Commissary. Notorious for that. Why? She's outreaching. Outreaching. Amen. Hey, folks, in this technological world, people still want to be personally invited. They still want to be personally talked to. The internet's great. The technology's great. Yes. But people still want to be like Peter. Andrew went over there and said, look, you need to come with me. Where are we going? You know that guy, John the Baptist, I've been following? He's not the Messiah, but we found the Messiah. You need to come and see him. And do you know what? As outspoken and outgoing as Peter was, he never questioned Andrew. We don't find it in Scripture. Wow. He went. So that means Andrew must have had some type of influence over his outspoken an outgoing brother for him to come. Peter's the leader. Peter's the loud one. Peter's the boisterous one. But his quiet brother, he followed. Can you believe that? You know, you don't always have to be the loud, outspoken one. You don't have to be the outgoing one. But he had enough credibility to be followed. And guess what? He followed him all the way to Jesus. And Philip had enough in him to convince a critical man like Nathaniel to come and follow Jesus. Notice what he says in verse 46 again as we close. Nathaniel said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. He said, you need to come check this out. You know, we may not have all the answers. Philip may not have had the rebuttal to give to Mr. Critical Nathaniel. But the one thing he had, he said, come and see. Andrew and I followed this man. And this man is the real man. He is the Messiah. And as a result of those two witnesses, Philip and Andrew being outreaching, you got Nathaniel saved and you got Peter saved. What am I saying? These personality types are going to be in every church. Outgoing, outspoken, outreaching. They're going to be there. They have to be there. Somebody had to bring that Peter type in. Somebody had to bring that Nathaniel type in. Somebody's got to bring those Thomases in. Somebody's got to bring that James and John in. Somebody's got to bring the Matthew in. Somebody's got to bring them in. Will it be you? Can God use you? By the way, maybe you're here today, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? See, it's one thing to be here. It's one thing to have Christ here. It's a big difference. Anybody can be in church, but not everybody can be in Christ. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Yes, Andrew went to go get him, but Peter still had to open up and let him in. Yes, Philip went to go get Nathaniel, but Nathaniel still had to open up and let him in. Somebody may have went to get you, but you still have to let him in. My question is, have you let him in? And when you let him in, you can't help but tell somebody out there what you got inside. You can't help it. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment. Father, I'm so thankful for the types that we see. Not everybody's outspoken like Peter. Not everybody's outgoing like Peter. But we find Philip and we find Andrew. Andrew's Peter's brother and his friend Philip. They were searching for the truth. They saw the truth in Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God, John said. And then they went to go share that same truth. They went to go get others. God, help us to be outreaching. Help us to realize that what we have is what everybody needs. The help of mankind, the hope of mankind, and Lord, heaven for mankind can only come through Jesus Christ. And I pray for every soul that's in here today, Lord, if they are born again, they would be outreaching to others, letting others see that they have light, they have hope, and they have help in Christ. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, it's not about us being good. It's not about us being baptized. It's not about us being a church member. It's about us being born again. And I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, is being challenged right now to check their own hearts and their souls to see if they're born again. And Lord, that they are being reached by the power of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us. Bless this invitation time now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a moment, just want to ask you a question. Have you been born again today? Has there been a time in your life when you can say, I've been born again? I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I repented of my sins. I understood that heaven is real and hell is just as real. And if I was not forgiven of my sins, I was going to go to hell. And I know one day I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven. And I know I'm saved. If you're like that today and you say, I know I'm born again. I know that heaven is my home. Would you raise your hand just a testimony of the grace of God? I know I'm born again. Heaven is my home. I know it beyond a shadow of doubt. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. You may put them down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand today. And maybe you don't know that heaven is your home. I want to pray for you. And maybe today you're out without Christ. You're doubting whether you're saved. And you would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I think I would, but I'm not positive. Not absolutely sure. Would you pray for me? All across this auditorium, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're at, just raise your hand up. I want to pray for you. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me, preacher? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. And lastly, maybe you're outspoken. Are you being used for God at Shining Light? Maybe you're outgoing. Are you being used for God at Shining Light? Maybe you're outreaching. Are you being used for God at Shining Light? If you're not, today, why don't you ask God to use you a little bit more in his ministry? Whether it's outspoken, outgoing, outreaching, ask God to use you. How many of you say, preacher, pray for me? I'm in one of those three categories. Pray for me. Outgoing, outspoken, outreaching. I need to do more. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. I see hands. Amen. You may put them down. Now, Father, you see the hands that have been raised. You see the hearts that have been exposed and touched this morning. Lord, we've seen Peter We've seen the love that you shared to him to go and get him. As apprehensive as he was to make another commitment, he still committed to you the best way he knew how. Help these that raise their hands to commit to you the best way they know how, a little bit more, a little bit better. And Lord, I pray for those that say they need to be more involved in using their outspokenness or their outreaching ability or their outgoing ability to reach other souls for Christ. Help them to be used more for you today. Lord, help them today to make that commitment in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around just for a moment. Would you let God speak to your heart this morning? God spoke in your heart. Would you move? The piano player is going to play. Amen. And as she plays, you move. Maybe you say, God, use me a little bit more. Help me to use my outspokenness. Help me to use my outgoingness. Lord, help me to use my outreaching. Just a little bit more than I used to. I want to be like Peter. I want to be like Andrew. I want to be like Philip. I want to go and get somebody else. I want to see another soul get saved. I want to be outreaching. Andrew went to go find his brother Simon. He said, "We found the Messiah." Philip went to go get Nathanael. He said, "We found him who Moses in the law and the prophets did right, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." How about it? Use your outspokenness for God. Use your outgoingness for God. Use your outreachingness for God. God, I want to see people get saved. I want to see people reached. I want to help partner in the local church and see things happen for the glory of God. By the way, all the things that we mentioned, the prayer, the partnering, the power, all used through the people. The preaching, all used through the people. Maybe God wants to use you today to go and get some apprehensive people restored. Maybe they don't want to step back out by faith. Maybe they've been hurt, they've been let down. They can't muster up enough love to do for God what they ought to do. Maybe God wants to use you to help them, to reach them. How about it? Jesus went and said, "Simon, lovest thou me more than these?" Maybe these fish, maybe these men. But do you love me more? Feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Maybe God wants you to be used today to help someone. And they're outreaching. Help someone in their outspokenness. All types of people God wants to use in the local church. And we've got to stand for the local church and use the abilities that God has given us. Use the talents he's given us. Oh, you may be an Andrew sent to go get a Peter. You may be a Philip sent to reach a critical Nathanael. You may be a Peter meant to challenge an Ananias and Sapphira. You may be a Peter to challenge a Simon the sorcerer. You may be a Peter to stand up amongst thousands and preach the word of God. But whatever God has given you by abilities, use it by the Spirit's power. 3.5 years these men spent with God, and after 3.5 years, many of them were never the same. Yes, some were used more than others, but none used probably more than Peter, and Peter was reached by Andrew. So it's not about how much you do, it's what you give to Jesus Christ, and he does through you. Andrew may not be remembered. One thing he'll be noted for, and that's reaching Peter, his brother. And Peter reached thousands for the cause of Christ. Who are you reaching today? Father, thank you so much for loving us. Lord, thank you for the example that Andrew has. And although he wasn't in the limelight, and although he wasn't talked about a whole lot, one thing he knew was that he was following John the Baptist religiously because he was seeking truth. But once he found the Messiah, he stopped following John and started following Jesus. And he went and called his brother, Simon Peter. And Lord, as a result, Simon Peter did great things for God. Help us to be outreaching to others. Thank you for the example that Philip had in reaching Nathanael, as critical as he might have been. He still was there, and he still reached Nathanael. And Lord, help us not to be so wanting to be notarized by who we get, but just by being obedient to go and get. And Lord, let you do the calling as you will. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to be outreaching. And Lord, help others to see Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you for loving us this morning. Bless down our communion service tonight as we make our way back. And Lord, I pray that your hand be upon everything that we think, say, and do. Our loved ones, Lord, raise them back up. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Brother Hall has our